Let me invite you this morning over to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, once again thanking you for the privilege of gathering together as your people and being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in our midst. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing, for the power of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you would be honored and glorified, and that we would have a greater understanding of the salvation that you've given to us. And then, of course, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you reveal that to them and that they might know you as we do as Savior. And we'll give you the praise for that. Bless and we'll thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message here is simply this morning is "Hear What the Spirit Saith Unto the Churches." Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that's the Spirit of God that's speaking to his churches. And what we have here basically is Christ at the end of the church age speaking to the church and encouraging them to remain and be faithful and to seek him and not to grow cold. So in Revelation here, chapter 3, verse 11, the word of God points to the Lord's return. And so as we consider that, may we realize that he's speaking to us today. But not just to us, but he's speaking really to all of the churches throughout all time, not to be found in this kind of a condition or situation in their personal relationship with the Lord. So we're going to back up here just for a moment to verse 10. Notice what it says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." So he says, there's coming this temptation at the end day, and I'm going to keep you from that. Then he says in verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly." Is that statement referring to the Lord's return? He says, "I'm coming quickly." Listen, when it's all said and done, I mean, my goodness, where did 2022 go? And we're already well into 2023. Time is flying, and one day we'll realize that when the Lord said he's going to come quickly, we're going to look at each other in heaven, those of us who know him, and say, "He came fast, didn't he?" I mean, he did a quick work just like he promised, and we ought to thank the Lord every day that we have every opportunity to draw nearer to the Lord, that we might walk faithfully with him by his grace and to experience his grace in our lives. So he says, "I come quickly," verse 11. "Hold fast," listen to this, "hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." So here's what he's saying. I have a crown for you. I'm going to give you a crown. And it's in fact, in the mind of God, let me ask you this, has it not already been given? It has been given. What is he saying? Hold fast to the truths of God's word, that no one deceives you out of losing your crown that's been intended for you. And then notice what it says here in verse 12. It says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." Listen to this. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." When God says something one time, it's important. But he's just repeated it one more time, hasn't he? He's saying, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Is Northwood Baptist Church one of the Lord's churches? Could it be that he's speaking to us this morning?
Are you ready to hear? Do you want to hear what God has to say to you and I this morning? Listen, this message is for all of us to understand and to receive from the hand of God, because He loves us and because He does not want us to miss out on everything that He has provided for us in the salvation that He's given to us. Please realize this. Eternal life is just the very beginning of your relationship with the Lord. And there's so much throughout the Scriptures that if we're not careful, we will miss of what God has given to us already in our salvation. Do you know that He has set us free? Do you know that He does not intend for you and me, to yield ourselves to sin anymore? Do you know that He says because grace abounds, that we have been given a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ? And just as He was buried in death and raised in the new life, we also should walk in this newness of life. It would benefit us to realize that this new life is what God is wanting us to understand to a greater degree. And that's what motivated and moved the Apostle Paul to share with all of the believers is the power of God, the glory of God in earthen vessels in our lives. But here's the thing. Listen, you know what he said? He said, a grain of wheat will not grow unless it's planted in the ground and it dies and that hard shell is cracked open where the life will come out of it. Listen, salvation is one thing, but listen, we're not to prize the alabaster box, but the greater value is the ointment that's with inside that alabaster box that glorifies the Lord, that brings a sweet odor and savor unto the whole world. And that ointment that's in the alabaster box is the Holy Spirit in the believer. And He wants that. But if we're not careful, we're prizing the alabaster box and God's trying to break it, that He might come forth and reveal His glory and His grace in the life of all of His children. And listen, when the Spirit of God that has revived our spirit, remember, He's quickened it. He made it alive. It was dead. And then He quickened it with His Spirit. It is His Spirit that's in us that God is wanting to break forth out of our lives, out of the outer man, right? The inner man might come out, the outer man, that, and the Bible talks about that in the book of Revelation, that the inner man might come forth, and listen, when that Spirit of God is coming out, people are going to be saved. Listen, people are going to be encouraged, God's people. But if we don't understand that, we don't even know what to look for. We just think, oh, that sounds good. Preacher made a lot of noise today. That meant absolutely nothing for me. I didn't understand. Did you understand that? That didn't make any sense to me. We need the Lord to tell us, what is it that you're wanting to tell us as your believers? What is the work that you're trying to do and wanting to do in our lives? And that is, He's trying to get us to the place to where He can break us, that His life might come forth. And you'll find that throughout the Scriptures. And what happens to His churches, which is us, right? His people. What happens to us, if that work is not taking place, we're going to be right here where the Laodicean church is at. And God is saying, listen, I want you to know something. We're missing out on what God is trying to do. That's the Lord. He's saying, but listen, I'm going to give you some good counsel. I'm going to do some good things for you, but you got to be able to receive and hear. We talk about lost loved ones and why don't they get saved? Well, maybe it's the lack of the power of God in His people, that the Spirit of God might be released through our lives to touch them. We're not just trying to get... Listen, do you know that I can talk people into trusting the Lord? Why, you don't want to go to hell. Listen, Jesus died. Just believe. Just say, Jesus, save me now. And they won't be any more saved unless God opens up their understanding of their sinfulness and their condemnation already. Listen. Not because of the things that they do. That's what the world thinks. Yeah, I'm going to hell because I've stolen, I've done drugs, I've done all these evil things. No. If you never did one of those things, you're still going to hell because you were born. We were born in sin. It is that sin that condemns us. You know, the world doesn't understand that. We all need a Savior no matter how good we think that we are. Because the Bible says in our lives, there's no goodness at all. So there are people saying, well, I'm not that bad a person. Oh, listen, you're worse than that. You're worse than that. You're undone and condemned already. That's why God gave His Son. That's the gospel in a nutshell. And you know what people are looking at? Well, I'm not that bad a person. Oh, listen, I got news for you. You're missing what God has said. God said, listen, you were born in sin. You, even what you think is good, God says, is not acceptable. I'll not take it. But woe to the church. Woe to God's people to forget the price that was paid and the place that they were bought from and had been given eternal life. So very quickly, here's what we want to look at. What the Lord has to say about the church at the end of the church age. Secondly, what the church has to say about the church at the end of the church age. Did you get that? The first one was what the Lord has to say about the church at the end of the church age. And then secondly, we're going to look at what the church has to say about the church in the end of the church age. And then thirdly, we need to see the Lord's counsel to the church at the end of the church age, and then the Lord's encouragement. So look with me in verse 14, and let's just see what the Lord has to say about the church at the end of the church age. And we're going to see two thoughts here, a faithful and true witness, and we're going to find a lukewarm condition. Look at verse 14. And unto the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, saith the Amen, and the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Who's talking? Who's he saying? He's saying, I'm giving you the credentials. I'm speaking to the angel of the church, the messenger of the church. I'm speaking to the church. I'm trying to communicate this. And these things are being said, the Bible says here in verse 14, by the Amen. Who's that? That's God. That's Jesus. The faithful and true witness. That's Jesus again. The beginning of the creation of God. Without the Son of God, there wasn't anything made that was made. Isn't that what it says in the Gospel of John chapter 1? He made everything. And also Colossians chapter 2 says that He is the beginning of all things. And so as we consider that, we want to know that it is the true witness of God that is wanting to speak to you and us this morning. And here's what He has to say. Look at verse 15. I know thy works. Listen, not what we think. This is the witness saying about our works. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. He says, you're not cold and you're not hot. He says, verse 16, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee, right? I will spew thee out of my mouth. He says, it makes me sick. In fact, listen, we must look at ourselves. Do we hunger after the Word of God? Do we seek, Lord, I need to understand more about this new life that You've given to me. So I can't wait till when I'm done with all of my daily responsibilities, I'm going to open up the Word of God. In fact, because I don't want to miss out, Lord, on what You have for me this day, I'm going to get up extra early and I'm going to open up the Word of God. Is that the church today? No, listen. Is that your life today? Are you hungering and thirsty? I'm not trying to make you feel bad, and God's not wanting us to feel bad, but we need to come to grips with the reality of the truth of what God is saying. Are you on fire for God, or has something, oh, well, listen, Brother George, we come to church. We don't read the Word of God much, and I don't know if we pray much, but this is what God's trying to address. Are we where God wants us? Listen, and by the way, please don't misunderstand this. It doesn't have to do with how much you read the Bible and how much you pray. What it has to do with is whether or not your relationship is on fire that draws you to do that. Right? I could tell my wife I love her all day long. But when I stop and buy her some flowers, or when I do something for her that she enjoys, I'm showing that I'm not just a hearer of the word. I'm doing something that is revealing to her. What are we doing for God? No, now listen, all he wants us to do, he's not trying to get us to do specific things. The only thing he's asked us to do is to seek him, and he would do the rest. It's to seek him, and then he will do the work. Now here's how it works. Ready? What will you hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because Paul said by the Holy Spirit that there's a crown laid up for me. I've run a good race. And also, henceforth, there's also laid up a crown for all those that love God, that love his appearing. It's not what we are doing for God. The truth is, it's what God is doing for us. So if we are not compelled to read the Word of God, the truth is God's not doing a whole lot for us. If we don't find ourselves seeking God on a daily basis, I'm going to tell you the truth is, because it works the same in my life, God's not doing a whole lot to impress us. And the only reason why God's not doing anything is because we're not asking him to. That's the only reason. So notice what he says here in verse 17. He says, because thou sayest, this is what the church has to say about the church at the end of the church age. Ready? Because thou sayest, who's speaking now? The Lord is saying, I'm going to reveal your heart. I'm going to tell you where you're at. Now, why is he doing that? Is he trying to make us to feel bad? Is he trying to hurt us? Or is he trying to get our attention so that we can experience his grace and power in our lives and enjoy the very presence of God in our lives? Listen, it is all about the presence of God being released. It's already in us. We are saved as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but what God is wanting to see, what God is wanting to, he says, my love I give unto you, my joy, my peace. You are the light of the world. Why? Because he's the light of the world. And he's in us, and that is supposed to be coming out of our lives. And if that's not working, there's a reason for that. And here it is right here. He tells us right here, save children of God, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Did you see that? You know what we're saying? I'm pretty good right where I'm at. In fact, listen. When we talk about what the church needs to do, be reminded, you're the church. And here's what we need. Here's what we have in mind. Well, we're looking out here at what we could be doing. We're missing God. Because, listen, did Peter love the Lord when he denied him? Yeah, he did. He did. But there was no power of God in his life. And likewise, we can tell people till we're blue in the face, but if the Spirit of God is not being released that he's indwelt us with, there's no conviction. There's no power. So here's the question. Do we want the power of God that we're indwelt? If you're saved this morning, are you dwelt with the Holy Spirit? You're indwelt with the Holy Spirit? So when that Holy Spirit is released through our lives, because the alabaster box has been broken, and you know, I want you to know, is God working in our lives today? Absolutely he is. You know what he's working to do? To break our outer man that the inner man might come forth. He's trying to break the outer man. That's our soul. That's what we're used to. That's what we grew up with. And now we've got this new man inside of us, the inner man, and God wants it to come forth. But here's what happens. How does God do that? Well, he allows things into our lives so that we won't lean to our own understanding, but look to him and realize. And the moment we do that, listen, I'm going to tell you I'm guilty of this. We start complaining and not realizing. We think that that's coming from man. And when God is saying, nope, I'm allowing it in your life that you might look to me. I am trying to allow all of these things. Do not all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that love God, that are called that are called according to his purpose? I didn't say that. He said that. But how many times, don't say anything here, how many times do we complain when things don't go the way we would like them to go? God wants us to know that's his work in our lives to break us, to bring us to the place to where he, listen, we can't even break the outer man. He's got to break it. And then that kernel, that then the fruit comes. Then the growth comes. But we can't, listen, we can be saved children of God and be missing what God is trying to do. So notice again, verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Everything's, but my goodness, listen, the church in America can be saying this easily. Look what we've got. And notice what he says in verse 17, and knowest not. Listen to this. This is the Lord saying, that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. My goodness, a lot of ands there, isn't there? He says, God says, this is what I want you to know. I understand how, listen, you know how we know that we're all these things that God says, that we're all filled up with goods, and this is, we're not reading our Bibles. We're not praying. We're not saying, oh God, that you might look upon me and make my life a glory to your name. Amen. When was the last time that God's people say, oh God, that you would have your will and your way in my life. Oh God, that I would not put anything before you and that you would be preeminent and that your will would be my primary concern in life. Isn't that what he said that we're to do if we're to follow him? We're to deny ourselves. And if we're not careful, we're not doing that. Listen, God is not wanting us to be dismayed, definitely not destroyed or discouraged. But in order for him to do his work, we need to see, listen, in order for God to do his work in your life and mine, he has to allow us to see that we need him to do his work in our lives. Amen. So, question this morning, between you and the Lord, is God's will... And by the way, do you know what his will is? What is God's will? Is he fulfilling his will that he created you for? His purpose? That's important. And if you say, I don't know, that's a good answer. But don't leave it there. God, what is your will? That would be a good thing. Lord, am I just doing things that I think you want from me, or am I doing what you want me to do? There's a big difference. Are we giving God what he wants, or are we giving God what we want him to have? This is the level of my relationship with the Lord. I'll tell you, God, what you're going to get. I'll tell you, God, here's what I'm going to give you. Hi, are you impressed with that? Huh? And he's looking, he's saying, that's not what I asked for. That's not what I asked for. And what happens when we do that? Well, we say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I don't need anything. Here's a question. Let me ask you this morning. Just you and God. Do you need anything from God? Nope, I'm good. No, you're not. You just missed it. I'm good. No. Listen, not by ourselves, we're not. It is the work of God that he is wanting to do in the life of his church, his blood-bought church, is that taking place, or are we just giving God what we want to give him?
Right.
So, he says, verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and he says, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable and poor, and blind and naked. Well, I think I'm pretty good because this is what I do for God. That's not what it is. What is God doing for you that is changing your life and allowing his life to come out of your life? Listen. What is God doing for you that is allowing his life to come forth from your life? To his honor and glory. Not what we're doing for God. Well, bless God, I'll just be a good person. No, that's not what he's asking for. He's wanting his life in your life. Now watch this. Now, we find here what the Lord is saying here and to his church, and he's wanting to give them counsel here at the end here. Look at verse 18. The Lord speaking, I counsel thee. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. I counsel thee. But first of all, we got to see that we are blind and naked and miserable and poor and wretched. Because if we're saying, oh, I don't need that. I'm pretty good. I look good on the outside. Oh, no. We better look on the inside. We need to see what God sees, not what man sees. How is your heart in your love for God? Is it for you to live Christ? Or is it something else? What are we living for? Because this is all that's going to matter when we stand before the Lord in all eternity. We will see that the 80 or 100 years that we get on this side is nothing but a blip. And man, oh man, will we have been fooled and talked and have our crown stolen, because we could be that man, that one, that deceived ourselves into thinking, this is okay. Oh no, what does the Word of God say? See, God has not said, okay, let's all get together and get our heads together and let's come up with some wonderful ideas that we could do to draw people in. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Is that what God's asking for? Do you know what God's asking for? Ready? His will in your life and mine. Don't give him anything else, because he doesn't need anything else. That's not what he's asking for. Because listen, if his will is being done in our lives, he'll build his church. He'll build his church. Until then, all we're doing is we're giving God what he's not asked for. And it's time, really, God is wanting us to understand, it's time, if there's ever going to be a time, that we seek the Lord the way he wants us to. Not the way that we think. Well, if I do this, if I have my little checklist, is that what God's asked for? Your checklist? I'm right with God. No, God says, listen, I've got a royal priesthood. I've got a peculiar people. Is that what's in your life? If not, then don't give me anything else. And by the way, don't you do it either, because that's not what I've asked for. You will become a peculiar person. You will delight in the things of God if I'm in your life. And if I'm flowing through your life. Ready? Watch this. He says, verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be what? Rich. Not in what we think, but in what he says. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You know what he's saying? You don't even see it. You don't even see it. Listen, have you ever been so sure of something and we're wrong? No, 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 no. Don't confuse me with the facts. I'm right. And then you're wrong. Do you think anybody's going to wind up like that in heaven? Thinking, I know, this is what needs to be done. Bless God. Even though he's asked me for this over here, out of my life, this is what the church needs to be doing. Well, you are the church. And if we're not doing what God has asked us to do, then why in the world are we making excuses for ourselves? As long as we're crossing these our T's and our I's, we're right with God. Oh, no. Not if the life of Christ is not coming through us. Not as long as his love is not shining through us. Not if his patience. What are we going to do? Lord, shall I forgive my brother over here 7 times? That's good, isn't it? 7 times. Isn't that good, Lord? 7 times he aggravated me. 7 times. The 8th time, I'm going to write him off. Is that what God wants? And what did the Lord say to Peter? Bravo! No. He said, I stand to thee until what? 70. Was he wanting him to... The 490, what he was trying to say is, Peter, you've fallen short. You thought what you had as an idea was my idea, or you thought at least I would be impressed with yours. I'm not wanting you to lean to your understanding, Peter. I'm wanting you to walk in the grace of God that has been purchased for you. And that's where the difference is made. The church here is thinking, hey, everything's all right. And the Lord is saying, it's not. It's not. Will you hear? Will you hear? Can you hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Or have we become so dull of hearing, we're saying, oh, that's, I don't need that. Is that what the church was? I don't really need that. I mean, after all, you know, isn't this what I do for the Lord enough? Uh-uh. Listen. It is never what we do for God. It is always what God is doing for us. And if God is not doing anything in us that moves us to serve Him in His power, then we're missing everything. Saved child of God? Absolutely. How did you get that? By the grace of God. How will you serve the Lord? Same way. God is not asking you now to take it from here after salvation. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. And by the way, what's that gold tried in the fire? Those are the trials that we get. Those are the things that whittle out the old man. Those are the things that break the alabaster box. How will that happen? You got to ask God. He does it differently for all of us. He allows things into our life that He might do the breaking. Instead, we're trying to get out of those things and complain. And He's trying to break us that His life might come forth. That's his promise. That's His word. He says, you don't even realize. You think everything's all right. I'm asking you that you might seek me and buy the gold that's tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Could it possibly be that we are blind to what God is trying to do? I think it would be a wise thing to say, Lord, have I missed you? God, am I missing what you're wanting to do in my life? Am I so filled up with myself? I want to remind you, Peter loved the Lord too. And he denied the Lord. Are we denying the work of God in our own lives? I'm going to tell you, God is saying yes. But nobody can seek that for you but you. No, listen, you have to ask the Lord to do His work in your life. If you want it. If it's not of any value of it, we don't ask. If it's important, we'll ask. Then the Lord says this in verse 19. Here's His encouragement. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So if you feel rebuked and if you feel chastened, good.
Amen.
Good. You know what that shows? You belong to the Lord.
Amen.
And what does that mean when you're rebuked and chastened? This is what it means. It doesn't mean, well, forget God. It means, oh boy, maybe I've missed something here. Maybe I better talk to the Lord. Maybe I better seek Him and see if I'm not just giving Him what I want Him to have and not allowing Him to have His will in my life. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous. You're loved by God. And then he says this in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the Lord at his church. He's outside. If any man hear my voice, I'm good, Lord. Yeah, I'm all right. I don't know who can say that unless they're seeing the work of God taking place. Unless you can say, really, for me to live is Christ. And to die, that's gain. You know where that comes from? Not from us. Lord, that your will might be completely. Lord, that I might eat the bread and the meat that you have. Lord, that I might eat of the things that you say in the Word of God are worth real treasure, real value. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh. Does he want us to be overcomers?
Amen.
And not in our strength. What does that mean? What does that mean? We don't understand that. God, what does that mean? That's how we'll find out. Listen to this. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, were to overcome as he overcame, and am set down in my Father's throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. So the Lord's not finished with us, but if we're not careful, we're going to miss what he's trying to say and what he's wanting to do. Let me show you something. Back up over to the book of Romans just for a moment. Romans chapter 7. And there's more in context here. But I want you to understand what we don't understand naturally. Romans 7 verse 22. This is a truth that is nestled in this context. Paul is speaking about the frustration of the flesh, but then he's also revealing a truth here. Verse 22, Romans 7. For I delight in the law of God. How? After the inward man. But not if the outward man hasn't been broken. You'll never do it. You'll have the Holy Spirit that says, I want to do it, but I can't. I want to do it, but I can't. I want to do it, but I can't. So we can either come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know why I can't. And then he'll tell us. Or we can just say, forget it. I guess this is just the way it is. I'll never overcome it. Well, that's the truth. We will never overcome anything for God. But God can. God has called us to be a peculiar people. God has called us to be the light of the world. God has called us not to be yielded to sin. Back up here in chapter 6, you're right here in the book of Romans. Tell me, is this the truth? Look at verse 11. Romans 6:11. Listen. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed. That, you know what it means indeed? In what you do, indeed, unto sin. But alive unto God through Christ our Lord. Take into account what has happened. This is an understanding and a wisdom that only God can reveal to us. Are these just words to take up space in the Bible? Do they have no meaning at all whatsoever to us? Are we going to neglect this truth that God has said because we don't understand it? Or will we say, God, there's something there that this is what you're asking me to do in my life, to the saved. Reckon yourselves also to be dead. Listen to this. Look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Is that taking place? Or have we given up on it? Or are we going to say, God, look at what your word is saying. It's not happening. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And we wonder why the church is not power, has no power. Oh, we can do all kinds of wonderful things. Where is the power? Not in the things that we're doing. Where is the power of God in your life and mine? That's God's message this morning for his people. That's you and me as saved children. What are we going to do with that? Well, that was another one. I don't know. His wife's been away from him too long. No, it's God's word. It's God's word. For you and me, I'm sharing with you what God has convicted my heart about. I'm sharing with you, without beyond the shadow of a doubt, what God's message is for his people. We are only fooling ourselves if we don't see we've got a great need from God. We are only fooling ourselves. We will be the ones that will rob ourselves of the crown God intended for us. Verse 14, listen, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I didn't say that, God did. Is sin having dominion over you? For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Did you get that? Grace supersedes the law. How is the grace of God working your life? It's not if you're not overcoming sin. And by the way, it's Christ in us, the Spirit of God in us, that overcomes the sin. Or we just said, well, after all, everybody's doing it. There's no Christian that's doing this. There's no Christian. That's not what God has asked. God is asking you and me to consider His word and ask Him for help where it's needed. For sin shall not have dominion, verse 14, over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And please don't miss this. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. God is not asking you to do and try harder. We will never do it. We don't have it. We don't have it. God, where is your life? I know I have eternal life, but where is the power of your life that you've given me? Now, God can show us something. I'm looking for your power, God, that you've promised. What and where is the problem? The Lord encourages us in this. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death? And who's he speaking to? His people. His church. Ye are to whom ye obey. That's whose servants you are, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, verse 17, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Did you see that? You trusted Christ as your Savior. You got saved. You believed that. But now who are you yielding yourself to? Being then made free from sin, when did that happen? When you got saved, you were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. God's trying to get us to see there's something missing, and it's Him in our life and His power. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Where's the problem? In the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants of righteousness unto holiness. You know what God is saying? Believe that you've been given the Holy Spirit to empower your life. And ask God, Lord, show me how He comes out. Show me how I don't have to walk in sin. Show me how you will overcome sin in my life. Show me how the fruit of your Holy Spirit will flourish like never before, and that the world and our lost loved ones can see and listen, be drawn to you because you know what Jesus said? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. He didn't say some. He didn't say most. He said all. So where's the problem? Christ is not being lifted up. And we can't lift Him up. All we need to do is understand that He is doing that in our lives. And it's His Spirit that will touch the spirit of lost people that will help them see their need of salvation. Listen to this, and we'll finish here, verse 22. You can read the rest. Chapter 6 is important. All of it is, really. 6, 7, and 8. Put it all together. Paul in chapter 7 is telling us why failure will come. People say, well, he was wrapped up in sin, and then you need to throw out chapter 6. Verse 22. But now, not tomorrow, now, being made free from sin. And by the way, these are the ones, these believers in Rome were having troubles with this. So he's wanting them to understand, the Holy Spirit is wanting them to understand how the power of God is released in their life. We as believers have already been given everything you will need. You don't have to ask God to give you anything He's already given to you. We just need understanding on how the outer man or the old man is crucified and the new man comes forth. But now, verse 22, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's what God said. Now watch this. This is okay if you use this for salvation, people to understand, but He's speaking to believers. For the wages of sin is death. If we're walking in sin, you have no life. Now, I'm not talking about eternal life. I'm just talking about the life of Christ that will glorify himself in our lives. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How?
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Through him, not us.
Amen.
Through him, not us. Are we hearing what the Spirit is saying unto the churches today? Do you want to see the power and the glory of God? You can only seek that for yourself. And once God gives it to you, and once God gives it to me, and we walk in that, he will be lifted up. And everybody else will be drawn to him. So this morning, God reveals to us, we've got a problem. The question is whether or not we believe it. And then if we believe it, will we seek the Lord for it and ask him? Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, I am convinced you are trying to speak to your church, to your people, to us, Lord, that we might awake in this dire day and age of where darkness is prevailing for the light, Lord, of your glory to shine forth through us, your people. May you open up our hearts and minds to hear and to see that we might call upon you to fulfill and do the work that you've promised to do in our lives. Bless your people. Bless Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.